Now our text tonight is to be found in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 12. Ruth chapter 2 and verse 12. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And it's those words particularly at the end of the verse, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Dear congregation, Ruth came to faith in Jesus Christ. She fled unto the Lord for salvation and found herself under his protection. This was recognized by Boaz, who would one day become her husband. On a certain day, in the providence of God, Ruth went out and entered part of the field that belongeth to a certain man whose name was Boaz. And there she would glean corn. Come with me to verse 2 and verse 3. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her harp was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. We see there Ruth's desire, her love, her concern for Naomi, her mother-in-law. She wanted to help. We also notice there the providence of God. The place she would go to in order to help her mother-in-law was the field, that part of the field that belongeth unto Boaz. Well, Boaz comes and he takes note of Ruth. Verse 5, whose damsel is this? He speaks unto the servant. Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. Ruth finds herself then in conversation with him. In verse 8 we read, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. He speaks unto her in such a loving and gracious way. Well, Ruth, she falls down on her face in humility and amazement and says to Boaz, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? She's so amazed. Here's Boaz. The field, this part of the field, belongeth unto him. And he's come, and now he's talking to her. And in his conversation has shown his favour towards her. And Ruth is so amazed. Why have I found grace? When verse 11 Boaz answers, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. And then we come to our text. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. But Boaz has been informed of the Lord's goodness towards Ruth. Boaz knew that Ruth was trusting in the Lord, that her hope was in him. He speaks this testimony about her. What do others say about you? Do they say that you are one who have been brought unto the Lord and that you are trusting in him? Now Ruth here was identified as a believer and as one who was sheltered by the Lord. And what a blessing to be trusting in the Lord tonight and to be sheltered by him. In view of life, in view of God's wrath, in view of eternity, what a blessing to be sheltered by the Lord. In view of our enemies, in view of the trials of life, what a blessing it is to know protection. Well, here we have these words: the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. For the remainder of the time tonight, I'd like us to consider two things. First of all, faith in God. We note those words there: thou art come to trust. And then secondly, gathered under God. And we have that here, do we not? Under whose wings thou art come to trust. She was gathered under the Lord. Well, firstly tonight then, faith in God. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. We have here this word, trust. If we look at the Hebrew word, it means trust, or to flee for protection, to confide in, to make refuge, to have hope. And if you think of that from the Hebrew word, it's all here, isn't it? Under whose wings thou art come to trust. She had fled to the Lord for refuge. She had confided in him. She was found trusting in him. In a moment we're going to sing those words in Psalm 91. Verses 1 to 4. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. She was trusting under the Lord. She had fled unto him for refuge, and she had her hope in God on this day. Ruth was trusting in the Lord. She had faith in God. She had faith in Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 1 verse 12 we read that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. The apostle thinking there of the Jews and himself who first trusted in Christ, and then there would be many Gentiles. Well, we can think of Ruth. She was one who was found trusting in Christ. She had fled unto the Lord. She had fled unto the Saviour here in her life. Now Ruth was brought up in the land of Moab. In that land there was great idolatry. In Numbers 31 verse 1 we read, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. What a land! What idolatry was taking place! Now Ruth and her sister Orpah were well acquainted with the idolatry that was found in Moab. You go back to chapter 1. You recall that Naomi sought to test Ruth, her daughter-in-law, and said unto her in verse 15, as she thinks of Orpah as well, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Orpah, she had gone back. She returned to her people. And there is reference also there to her gods. Orpah and Ruth were well acquainted with the idolatry that was found there in Moab. When Naomi's testing Ruth there, are you going to go back? Are you going to go back to that land wherein there was gross idolatry? What idolatry was found in the land? But oh, here is Ruth. She's been brought to the Lord. Dear congregation, as we look out on this country, there is great idolatry. Many worship idols. There are many Buddhas in many a home. Many follow the false religion of Islam. And then there is the worship of self. There is much idolatry in this land. Oh, what sin we are witnessing in this nation. How things have so come to such a low state in our nation. We can look back at better days, but now what we see before us, such ungodliness, such idolatry, such sin we are witnessing in this nation. Yet God is able to save men and women, boys and girls, from such a country as ours. He saved Ruth from such a country as Moab. The Lord is able to save from this old country of England. And He is saving. There are those that are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Now we see clearly here and in chapter 1 that the Lord had worked in her heart. Ruth by nature was in bondage. Her heart was stone. She was under condemnation. Yet the Lord worked in her heart. Come with me again to chapter 1 and this time verse 6. Rather verse 16. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For wherever thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." On the way, Naomi made known to her two daughters-in-law what difficulties they should expect in coming with her. Orpah returns. Ruth, we're told, she clave unto her. She abided, she clung unto her mother-in-law. Naomi, seeing this, tests Ruth again. Verse 15, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." It's a test here. You're going to return? What's the response? "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For wherever thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." She does not want to go back. She does not want to go back to that land and that old way of living. No, she wants to go with Naomi, because her heart has been touched. Note those words there. "Thy God, my God." She makes known her love and devotion to Naomi, to her people. But more importantly, she makes known her love and devotion to the Lord, the true and living God. You see, the Lord has worked in her heart. She speaks of God now as her God. She'd been given the gift, that wonderful gift of faith. She'd been brought up in Moab. She'd been well accustomed with the idolatry of that place. Yet the Lord broke into her heart, opened her heart like He opened the heart of Lydia, as we read in the book of Acts. Her heart was opened. The Lord put faith within. She had this wonderful gift of faith. And that faith was recognized by Boaz. She had been given faith. You like receiving gifts, maybe a little present. For some young ladies, but older ladies, a necklace, maybe a plant, flowers, maybe a shortbread, something like that. A little gift can mean so much. The husband gives a little gift and it can mean so much to the wife, and vice versa. The child giving a little gift, or the parent giving a gift to the child. Just a little gift sent in love can mean so much. Have you the wonderful gift of faith? Are you so thankful? Does it mean so much to you that you have the gift of faith, that you can look unto Christ? You think when you receive a little gift, maybe just a little box of chocolates, and you're so pleased, you love chocolates, and you're so thankful. Are you thankful for the gift of faith? Do you show to the Lord that you are thankful? It means so much to you that you have faith and that you are found looking unto Jesus. Well, Ruth, her heart was open. She'd been given this gift of faith. And she says to Naomi, "Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." She was acquainted now with the Lord. She was looking to the Lord. She had this wonderful gift of faith. Now by nature, one does not have this gift within their heart. It's given, you see. She was given this gift. She was found looking to the Lord. She had bowed her knee to the true and living God. Her family were acquainted with bowing the knee to idols, but now she found bowing the knee to the true and living God. Her eye of faith was fixed on Christ, and on Christ alone for salvation. She knew the Lord and identified herself with him and with his people. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. She rejoiced in the Lord God and identified herself with him and with his people. Do you identify yourself with the Lord, that he's your God and that his people are your people? Well, consider Ruth here in chapter 1. She talks of the Lord with faith in her heart. She had this profession. She was talking of one she knew. Do you talk of one you know? Do you really know him? Can you say tonight, thy God, my God? Here's Ruth. She's talking of the Lord. She has this godly fear in her heart. Malachi 3 verse 16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that fought upon his name. Talking often, Ruth talked of the Lord. Boaz knew that Ruth was a believer. It had been told him. He knew that Ruth talked of the Lord. Are you found talking of the Lord? Do others know you to be a believer? Thy God, my God. Think of God at this very moment. Do you find your heart looking up to him and saying, he is my God? Can you say tonight that God belongs to me? That the blessed Saviour is my beloved. I am his and he is mine. For Ruth had faith. She knew the Lord. Ruth had come to trust in the Lord. Her hope was in him. She was resting in the Lord for salvation. She was resting in him as she lived her life. As she went to do her work. It was taken notice of by Boaz. As Ruth was in the field, Boaz takes note of Ruth. He's acquainted with her. He takes note of her as one who had faith. As you do your business, as you live your life, as you go out in the community, as you meet others, do they know you to be a believer? For many years, sadly, there was one particular gentleman I used to work with, and he did not know I was a believer. And he one day said to me, I did not know you went to church. My heart sank. But I was so thankful he knew then that I went to church. Do others know by your conversation? Do others take notice that you are one who loves the Lord? It was noticed by Boaz. Do others say of you, they're trusting in the Lord? They have faith in Christ. Do others see you in affliction? Leaning on the beloved. Look at that lady. Look at that man. They're trusting in the Lord. Have you faith? And is it being spoken of? Is it being noticed by others? Now the Christian needs to exercise faith. You consider Naomi. She was poor. Ruth desires to help her. She goes out to glean. She goes out to do these long hours picking up the corn. She would exercise faith. She would trust the Lord. She'd come back to this place. She comes to this place rather. She's living with Naomi. They haven't got much. She's trusting the Lord as she gleans the corn from the field. The Christian needs to exercise faith. There are hurdles in the pathway. There are concerns. Think of the concern Ruth had in chapter 3, verse 18. Was she going to marry Boaz? Would he be able to marry Boaz? She needed to exercise faith. She was told by Naomi, "Sit still, my daughter," Ruth 3, verse 18, "until they'll know how the matter will fall." Sit still. Anxiety and panic can often set in, and as a result, one is found vexed, wondering what is going to happen. We need to exercise faith, to sit still. And it's a precious thing to see a believer sitting still, to see a believer exercising faith in the Lord. At such times of trouble, we need to rest. We need to find ourselves exercising that grace of faith within. You who have come to trust the Lord, trust Him. You're known as a believer, trust Him. Exercise faith. There's to be that activity in the soul. Boaz knew that Ruth had come to faith. Boaz saw that Ruth was trusting in the Lord. You who have come to trust Him, exercise faith. One of old wrote, "I am trusting Thee to guide me. Thou alone shalt lead. Every hour, every day, and hour supplying all my need." Is your eye on Christ tonight? Have you fled for Him for protection? Have you trusted Him? And are you leaning on Him? Are you resting in Him? In the Song of Solomon 8 verse 5 we read, "Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved?" In the Second World War, many a soldier came off the ships, leaning on medical staff, with their wounds bound up. Their wounds had been bound up, where they were helped off the ships by particularly medical staff. You have been wounded by sin, but now are you leaning on the beloved, with your wounds bound up, covered by the precious blood of Jesus? Are you leaning upon the beloved tonight? I remember many years ago, once I fell asleep and I was found leaning on a gentleman next to me in the sermon. I never met him before, and the last time I saw him, I was too embarrassed to go and say hello. But I was found leaning. Are you leaning on Christ? Have you lent in that initial way? Are you leaning on Him tonight? Or are you leaning on your own understandings? You lean on your own understandings. You'll fall. You'll slip. Lean on the Lord. He will support. Is your eye on Christ? Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? Can you say tonight, it's me? Can you answer that question? Who is this leaning on the beloved? Can you say before the Lord, it's me, Lord. I'm leaning on Thee. I'm trusting in Thee. Difficulties may be on the horizon. Financial difficulties may be coming to me. But I'm leaning on the beloved. In the long hours of the day, are you like Ruth, leaning on the beloved? Do others see you exercising faith? Do others see you trusting in the Lord, resting in Him? Boaz took note of Ruth. He knew that Ruth was one who had come to trust in the Lord. What do we read here? "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." She had been brought to faith in Christ. What a blessing to have been brought to faith in Christ, to lean on Him and to be found trusting Him in one's life as a believer. So firstly then, faith in God. Secondly, as we draw to a close, gathered under God. Gathered under God. "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Now we read here of wings being ascribed to God. Now God does not have physical wings, for he is a spirit. It is therefore put to reveal something or declare something about God and what he does. We think here of the wings, under whose wings thou art come to trust. But think of what they used to call a feathery fowl. Looked in an old dictionary today, looked up the words wings in this old Bible dictionary, and I read this: a feathery fowl. We can take, for example, a hen. You remember those words of our Lord in Luke 13, verse 34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Ye would gather, but they refused. Ye would not. Many will know that they refused the Lord Jesus Christ on that great day. But think there what our Lord says. How often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings. And think that under the wings the chicks are gathered. Under God, Ruth had been gathered. What do we read here? Under whose wings thou art come to trust. She had been drawn by grace and gathered under God, he being a place of refuge for her. Now think of the hen. Just a few months ago, I know a number of children saw these little chicks, and they were hatched, and there was the hen to protect them. Well, you think of the chicks, they're gathered by the hen. And they find protection and warmth. You think particularly in the spring. You may have gone down to the lakes just down the road or some other place, and you see the ducks and the little ducklings, and they're following the female duck, and they're following that female duck for protection. And they're gathered. You think of safety and comfort. Those little ones are covered, and there's safety and there's comfort. Does it not also speak of affection? It's a very affectionate sight, isn't it? And that's why at times people have found gazing at the little chicks for a long time as they follow the female duck, or the ducklings following the female duck and the chicks following the hen. Because it's a very affectionate sight, isn't it? Think of a little child. They snuggle up, as it were, close to their mother. It's an affectionate sight. What an affectionate sight it was. Ruth gathered under the Lord. She found protection. She found comfort. She found warmth. She had been gathered under God. The Lord had drawn her. Has the Lord drawn you? Has he drawn you to himself? Has he gathered you? You think of that hen that gathers the chicks. Has the Lord gathered you to himself? What grace, what mercy to be gathered unto the Lord. Think of the shepherd who gathers the sheep. Have you been gathered? Under whose wings thou art come to trust. Dear congregation, God is a place of shelter. He is a refuge. What a blessing to have been gathered under him. Remember those words again in Psalm 91 verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Gathered under God, trusting under the Lord. Is that you tonight? You've been gathered to the Lord and you're trusting him tonight. You're resting in him. You're considering him. You think of the little chicks when they're gathered under the... They think of their mother. They think of the hen. The ducklings think of the female duck. The wings are over them. They feel the warmth. Are you thinking of God and trusting in him? He is a shelter. He is a place of hope or trust. Well, as we close, let's just consider a few things here. As we think of being gathered under God. Firstly, if one is sheltered under God, they are safe from divine wrath. And this because of Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 10 we read, and to wait for his Son from heaven, was the testimony of the brethren at Thessalonica, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And you see, there is one sheltered under the Lord, delivered from wrath, gathered under God, and sheltered from his wrath. Now we think of that. There's such mercy then in being gathered to God. What mercy. We think of the wrath of God. God is angry with the wicked every day, we read in the Psalms. And justly so, we think of his wrath. What mercy to be gathered unto him. He who is infinitely holy. He who hates sin. He who is a God of wrath. What mercy to be gathered unto him. It speaks of mercy. One is sheltered under God. They are safe from divine wrath. Is that where you are tonight? You're safe from divine wrath because you've been gathered under God. God in mercy because of Christ delivers one from wrath. Christ came. He met the condition. He suffered and died that there might be shelter for all who believe. Secondly, the believer is protected from the enemy. You think of the little ducklings. There may be a heron come across the water, or a bird of prey. And the little ducklings, they make their way towards the female duck for protection. There's protection for the believer. Yes, Satan and others can attack, but they cannot destroy the soul. Our Lord says, I give unto them, that is the believer, eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. No man is able to pluck them. I do not know if you used to do what I used to do years ago. My grandfather would hold his fist clenched, and he would ask me to try and open his hand, open his fist. And I would try, and I would lift one finger, and up it would go, and then another finger, and then he would put the other finger down. And I would never get all the fingers open. I could never open his hand. Dear brethren, our enemies can never open the hand of God. We can never be plucked out of his hand. There's protection under the wings of God. The soul of the believer is safe in the hands of the Lord. And the soul of the believer will be safe in the hands of Jesus at death. Thirdly, there is comfort. What's one of the reasons the little ducklings go to the female duck? It is to be warmed. It is to be comforted. There's warmth, there's comfort under the wings of the hen. There's comfort to be found in God. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. Such comfort there is to be found in God. Comfort ye my people. We read in Isaiah 40 verse 1. He's the God of all comfort. All we need is to be found in him. There's comfort awaiting the believer in every trial, not one trial the believer faces in which the Lord cannot comfort them. He is the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. We're under his wings. That's why we know comfort at times, isn't it? Comfort in affliction, comfort in difficulties. You may have concerns about the present. Or consider the comfort of God. And the psalmist rested in that comfort and cried unto God who performeth all things for me. Psalm 57. Maybe financial concerns ahead of you. There's comfort to be found in God. Philippians 4 verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There's comfort in view of death. It's a difficult path. But for the believer, they will walk that pathway, they will walk that valley with the Lord at their side. Thou art with me, said the psalmist. There's comfort. There's comfort under the wings of God. There's comfort under God. There's warmth. You think of that aspect, there's warmth. Ephesians 5 verse 29, for no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Think of what the Lord does for the believer. There's this nourishing, this feeding, and there's this cherishing. The word cherish speaks of to warm. At times the believer feels cold. It won't be long before we're shivering in the winter. And we've soon forgotten the summer. We feel cold at times, and we can feel cold within, but the Lord in his mercy comes to warm the heart through his love and comfort. And so we read in the Song of Solomon 2 verse 6, his left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. You see the embrace? It's a loving embrace to assure us of his love and to warm our souls. We at times are sad. The Lord in time will warm our hearts through his word. Luke 24 verse 32. What did they say? Did not our heart burn within us while he talked of us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? He warms the heart. He comforts the soul. Finally, as we think of being under God, think here of these words, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Think of affection. And does it not speak of affection? The little chicks under the hen. It speaks of affection. The little child snuggled up near to the mother speaks of affection. And we think here what affection the Lord has for his people. What love. What affection to be under him. To be gathered to him. What affection he has for me and you, dear brethren. What love. Jeremiah 31 verse 3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. What love, what affection. Are you there? Are you under God? Are you under his so precious affection, so precious love? What a blessing to be there. Have you been gathered to Christ? Luke 13 verse 34, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. I hope there's no one here. The Lord says to you, ye would not. Oh, to be gathered unto Christ. What a blessing to be under the Lord. What a blessing to have faith. What a blessing to know his grace. And to have prospect of further blessing because of grace, as we see there in the beginning of verse 12. Faith in God and under God. It was seen. Boaz knew Ruth to be one who had faith in God. One who was under God. Dear child of God, what a blessing to know these things. What do we read here? The Lord recompensed thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. What a blessing tonight. As we look at this new week, if we are resting under God. Amen. Let's turn to our final psalm, Psalm number 91. Psalm number 91. We're going to sing verses 1 to 4. You'll see the relevance of this psalm. He that doth in the secret place of the Most High reside, under the shade of him that is the Almighty shall abide. And notice verse 4. His feathers shall be high, thy trust under his wings shall be, his faithfulness shall be a shield and buckler unto thee. What a blessing to be under the Lord, to be under the precious Saviour, to be sheltered by him. The tune is Lloyd, Psalm number 91, verses 1 through to verse 4.